So thank you for a safe space. I always realize it's an honor and a privilege to be here and to be able to bring God's word. It's something that I don't hold lightly. And if you're in my home, you'll know with Peter, then it's like a whole weekend of me just wrestling. And so I bring that out of that space and pray for God's grace for me to deliver it well. And I'm going to start off by reading you a little piece. And it's from a gentleman called Patrick Henry. He was a brilliant orator and a major figure in the American Revolution. And he's best known for these words, "Give me liberty or give me death." So that's quite a hectic opening statement to make for a sermon. But it was his battle cry for freedom in his country, America. And he's quoted as follows. He says, "Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why should we be idle here? I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." This is a bold cry from a man who saw what was happening in his country, and he took up arms and went with his brothers to fight in the battle and for freedom of his country. And we know today that he became one of the founding fathers of the United States of America. We read of something similar in Jeremiah 6 verse 14, where he says to the nation of Judah and Jerusalem, he says, "Peace, peace. You say peace, peace, where there is no peace." It was a time when the country was at war, was at peace, and everything around them seemed to be fine. And yet, the Lord knew that there was an enemy rising up against them. And he warned them through the Jeremiah, the prophet, to turn from what they were doing and to seek the Lord. Sadly, they refused to obey, and they were all taken into captivity. These are two similar situations with two different results. And so in the last few weeks, with all this stuff happening in our country, I've become more and more aware of the danger that we face of sitting and declaring peace, peace, where there is no peace. It's only when an incident of violence that rocked our country 2 weeks ago comes that we actually realize we're living in a country that is broken. And when this happens, what do? Most of us complain or judge what is happening, or we react in fear and anxiety rather than being motivated to get up and fight for change and freedom in our land. And I come today not as somebody who's perfected it. In fact, I have to confess, I was not in either of these two places. I was wrapped up in my own world. And when Dave spoke to me at VMV and asked me what I was going to preach on, and I told him what the Lord had been speaking to me about, he asked me whether I was going to speak into the femicide and the xenophobia that was happening. So I said, no, I haven't thought about that. My husband and I, we've been going through different things. We're doing alterations on our house. And for any of you that have done that before, you know it's quite stressful. And it brings all kinds of conflicts and all kinds of things to the fore. And at the same time, we've been sitting in a season where Peter's newly retired, and it's come with all kinds of new financial changes and having to wrestle with where we're at financially and looking at our future and whether what we have is going to see us through over the next season. And that was where I was at. That was very real to me. And to be honest, my sister came and she had coffee with me, and we were chatting about what was happening at the university, and I said, "Well, what's it all about?" And she looked at me with shock and she said, "Do you not know what is happening in our country?" And I said, "No, I don't." And she told me what had happened. It was 2 weeks later or a week later, and I'd been completely oblivious to what was happening. I was then at VNV and I was chatting with Victor, and he started sharing with me a burden he's carrying for Woma Township and what's happening there, where people are living with this kind of violence every single day. And it's the normal for them. But we only get to see it when it pops up into our world. The but they live with it every day. And Ike used to carry a heavy burden for this pain. And so the Lord convicted me and he said, where have you come from, Valerie, that you are now sitting so wrapped up in choosing tiles and worrying about whether you're going to have enough money that won't run out before you die? It's real stuff, you know? It's real stuff. And so that's what I wanted to share with you today, just not from a place of perfection, but a place of my own vulnerability as we look at what's happening. And to ask this question, what are we doing? Are we fearful? Are we ignorant? Where are we sitting? Or are we, which is what I want to try and do today, feeling the call to get up and go to battle for our land? It also reminded me of a clip that we shared, I think here 2 years ago, with T.D. Jakes. And he spoke at the Global Leadership Summit about a similar situation in America. And he spoke about communities that were full of unemployment and lack of education, et cetera, et cetera. And he spoke about these communities being boiling pots that are just waiting to spill over into other societies if the problems there are not addressed. I believe this is what we're seeing as well in our country. Things are happening regularly in our communities. The things that we see only from time to time, which we think is often. And T.G. Jake warned us that if we do not bridge the gap between our communities and seek ways to bring healing, we will experience more and more of these episodes. So I want to not leave us in a place of fear or despair or discouragement, but I want to bring encouragement to us today and bring us something that I feel the Lord would want to say to us. And what could be quite a heavy subject, I hope to not make it too heavy. I can hear the silence in the room. I hope you can still be friends with me when I'm done. So I acknowledge that I'm too on a journey of figuring out how to manage my life and what seems to be the normal day-to-day of home management and finance, and then the stuff that pushes up that's not the norm, whether it's marriage problems, whether it's children, whatever. And then the other things that would seem to be unnormal, unnormal. So the first thing I want to bring us as we go to battle is the call to come back to Jesus. It's our starting point. You can put up that scripture in Matthew 11:28. Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is our starting block. And Jesus made this call. He did so also to a people who were living under supreme oppression of the Roman government of the day. And they were burdened by their own sin, but also the sin around them, and the oppression from trying to live out the law and obligation to fulfill it. And this word is as relevant for us today as it was back then. That Jesus offers us an open invitation for us to turn away from it all and lay it down and simply come to him and to seek his face. What does that mean? We put aside our fear, our righteous anger, our frustration, our judgments, and even our ignorance, and we repent. We literally choose to turn away from our human behaviors and our human things that push up. And we just come and lie face down before him. And we ask him to help us. Secondly, this call of Jesus is to everyone. He does not discriminate between rich and poor. He does not discriminate between the size of our problem. It's all real to him. He says, "Come everyone who's weary and burdened by life, by marriage conflict, raising your children, financial concerns, health issues, the struggle against sin, and those who are battling with abuse, violence. It's a call for us to rest in Christ. He says, come and find your place of rest in me. It's the way that Jesus has promised. We find this rest knowing that our salvation is secured, knowing that Jesus has already won the victory over our sin and death, and trusting that God will lead us through every single situation that comes our way. He told us this in John 16:33, where he said, I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus takes this burden on himself. He took it upon himself on the cross. And what we see and encounter in this world, we get a hand over to him, for it's not our burden to carry. Jesus also calls us to yoke ourselves to him and to learn from him. We make the choice to walk with Christ. And how can we learn from Jesus today? Where is he? Well, he's in the Word. We will find him there when we take the time to go and read it and to seek him. And he helps us through the Holy Spirit, which he's given us, to remind us of everything that he teaches and to help us and equip us and empower us and to sustain us and to strengthen us. And when we start walking with Jesus and learning from him and yoking ourselves to him, we discover that he managed to live a very balanced life. He enjoyed fellowship with friends and family. He had barbecues, he went to weddings, and he naturally performed miracles and healings in those places. He was part of a fountain community like we have right here. He preached in the temple, preached in homes, and he preached out on the streets. And we see in the Gospels how he was constantly moved by compassion to the person sitting in the chair right next to him, to a friend's mother, but he also walked with those who were broken on the outside of the immediate community. He came alongside people, and he healed the sick, and he delivered them from demons, and he met with a woman at the well, and he came to defend the woman who was caught in adultery. He led a life that was integrated, not separate. And he calls us to do the same. He knew how to walk in two different worlds, and he did it with a gentle and humble heart. I just love that song now as we were singing it, because it's also, it's his name that we carry. And as we go, we know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And the second step in our battle is to pray. And most of us know the scripture in 2 Corinthians 7:14, and I'll give it to us again. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. It's a call to come and pray for our land. But it's also a call for us to come and pray for our own eyes to be opened and for the Lord to touch our hearts and to lead us into just stepping over in one small step and asking him what he would have us to do. I remember that this was part of my own journey to actually where I am today. I've been doing some devotionals with that soap that Dave gives us. Any of you that know V&V or been around long enough, you'll know Dave's little soap. And I'd been doing that newly. I was new in Vineyard, and I'd been doing that quite regularly. And I came across a scripture in Deuteronomy 15 that said, "Open your hand wide to the poor and needy in the land, and don't turn away from your own flesh and blood." And as I prayed that prayer, I felt the Lord just stirring me to pray for my brother. And we had been estranged, and there was a story there which I won't go into now. But he was not in a good place. And the Lord had called me back to say, "Turn and help your brother." And as I prayed that and asked for his help, he said to me, "Pray too for the poor and needy in the land." And within three months, I was walking around broken when I saw the poor around me. So the Lord can stir your heart, and he can lead you into something. I don't know what that is, but take the chance and pray. The third step is to action. And there are many accounts in Scripture where we can read how God calls his people to war and they go out to battle. And he sustains them and he brings them warriors and he gives them strategy of how they can go to war. But that is not the war that he calls us today. It's not the war that Jesus came to fight. Jesus gives us another way. In Isaiah 58, we read what he calls us to. It's what is called the true fast of Israel. And he was admonishing them because they had been fasting and praying for the Lord to come and heal the land and release them and to bring revival in a sense. The Lord brought this word through Isaiah to call them back to a place of doing what the Lord had called them to do. For us today, we can apply this to our lives as well. And I read it from verse 5 to 8. It's a place where we settle for worship and prayer and community living, but we don't move out of that space and do what God has commanded us to do. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of every yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. It is what we read and know that Jesus declared when he stood up in the temple and said that the sovereign Lord was upon him. It was to go and set the captives free, to clothe those who had no clothes, and to feed those who had no food. It was to go and set the captives free and to release prisoners. It's a call for all walks of life, not just cross-culturally or cross-communities, but within our own communities. There is always an opportunity for us to do this. So I suggest to us today that as we ask God to heal our land and as we pray, we also ask him and we also step into ways where we can start fulfilling the commission that he has given us. To loose the chains of injustice, to break the yokes of oppression, to feed the hungry, and to go and visit a friend in need. This is what Jesus came to do, and it's what he calls us to go and do with him. I just want to stop here as well and say that in this community, I feel like I'm preaching around this room and I see how much is happening within this community and how people are doing these things. And so I just want to honor each one of you for what you bring to us and how you've been brave enough to pick up this mantle in our community and to do it well. There's some that are just venturing out and doing small things. And there are others that are doing great exploits. And I salute each and every one of you for your bravery and your courage to be warriors. And not what Gavin called us a few weeks ago, waddlers. I wasn't here, but I heard it was good and I did listen to it, Gavin. So that's what I want to say to us. We are warriors. And let's rise up and be warriors. Somebody else said that we are warriors, not warriors. You get that? Hey, we're called to be a warrior, one that goes to war, not one that worries about our lives. So finally, the place of joy and lightness of being, because this is also what the Lord calls us to. We are not left with a heavy mantle or a burden, but he calls us to lightness, a place of his yoke being easy and light. And for me, the greatest encouragement has come, and this was the original word I thought I would be preaching today or speaking to you about today, and it came from Hebrews 12, and it was when I was at Warmer Methodist, and it was the conference of checking your vitals. And I'd been in a season also of feeling quite oppressed and like heavy laden. And this word just came and brought me such life. The writer of Hebrews is comparing the two mountains, the mountain of Sinai and the mountain of Zion. And he said, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what it commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death." The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I'm trembling with fear." We have not come to that place of the old covenants of the law, which demanded so much that we could not fulfill it. The verses go on to say, "But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And you've come to God, the judge of all, in the spirits, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." And then he says, "So see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks." As I said, that first mountain is a place that we want to run from, a demand that we go and do something to fix the situation in our country. We want to run away. We want to turn our heads and say it's just too much. But Jesus shows us a better way. We have this new covenant, this new relationship, one of love and joy and peace, and one of community. When we understand the call of Christ and the better way, we get to partner with God and serve him and with him out of this place of relationship and rest. And I guess those are probably the things that Jesus felt as he went through some of the things that he did. He was at rest with the Father, and he knew what he was called to. And he did it with joy. Well, I don't know if he did it with joy. I must maybe correct that. Because we know he sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was not laughing. But it said, for the joy set before him, he endured. But we do get it to do it with joy. We get to have community. We get to make friends. We get to have barn dances. And we get to have fun. And we get to work things out with our husbands and make friends. I think this is a great army to be part of. And I celebrate with each of you again, as I say this morning, that we'd get to do this together as a community of people that are united with common purpose. And so to wrap it up, I'm giving you, I feel Scripture has given us a simple battle plan in the time that we find ourselves in our country. Come to Jesus. He'll help you to carry the load and show you how to live a balanced life. Pray. Pray for yourself, pray for your neighbors, and pray for our country. I think Marius is going to put it out on the intercessor group later on today or sometime. There is a call to pray for our country over the next 3 days. And I encourage you to do that. Find friends, find family, find your small groups. Wherever you are, find a place where you can pray. And then join the action. I think here we can just plant a small seed. Take one step. And for those that feel you can, take bold steps. But let's start somewhere. And then do it with great joy. Not out of an obligation, but out of a place of love. We have been given a choice at this time to take the call and to heed the call and take up our position. And in the words of Patrick Henry, I say to you, our brothers and sisters out there, our brothers and sisters are out there in the field. Let us not be found sitting idle. So what is the Lord calling each of us to today? As I said, I think just we can take one small step. There's this giant call to go and die. And some of us might not feel ready to go out and die completely. Some of us are. But there are small places in our lives that we can die. Little places of fear. Little choices that we can make. To make the choice to die to something that will hold us back from the freedom that Christ has given us. It might just be just the simple thing of the fear of accepting Christ or walking with him. For me, there's no other option for us. If we're to live in this country, we need to do what the Lord is calling us to. I cannot remain in a place of fear or ignorance. I need to believe that the word the Lord gives us is true and that I can stand on it. And that as I do, I will start seeing change in our country. Probably first in our family, and then in our church, and then in our neighborhood, and then in other communities. But like I say, let us start. For Christ died to bring us this freedom, and he offers us the same freedom to go and take it to others. He calls us again, as I said, to just live comfortably in the environment that we are. Or maybe not comfortably, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, how to finish this word, other than again to just a place of encouragement and to say to us, each one of us, and call us. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to lead. This is not something we can do and stand up in our own strength and our own wise ideas. So I want to ask the Holy Spirit to help lead us and help me close this meeting this morning. And so I ask you all just to close your eyes and just listen to me and just see in anything that I speak in the next while stirs your heart. There are some of us that have not even received Christ. And this would be a first step. I invite you to come and them that Christ offers. There are others that would need to turn back to Him and take up a fresh position, a new commitment. You're welcome to stand and come forward or move or do whatever you feel. I want the Spirit to lead you. We'll have people praying in the front if you want to come forward. Come, Holy Spirit. I believe there are some here who are just tired and weary, and this word for you today would just seem too much. I invite you to come and lay down your burdens. There are others who have yokes of slavery and places of fear, bitterness, religion, maybe past hurts, anger, obligation. I invite you also to come and lay down the yoke of slavery and receive freedom. There's some of you who want to learn to walk with Jesus and step up and step out and to live in greater levels as He did. There are some of you that have been doing this kind of work for a long time, and you too are weary. You'd like people just to come around you and pray and lift your arms for fresh strength. So let us stand. And I say, Holy Spirit, come and move among us. Stir our hearts and draw us closer to Jesus. We each one of us choose today to just humble ourselves and pray for our land. We ask you to come and heal us so that our land can be healed. So feel free to walk to the front if you want to pray together where you're standing. And just give a moment. Feels quite solemn in the room. I'd hope to leave with a little bit more of a lighter note. But yeah, just pray there's no heaviness in this room, Lord. That you'll remove the yoke of heaviness from us. And give us a yoke that is easy and a yoke that is light. And help us to come and remember that there are people around us that are celebrating us as we walk this journey. I was thinking yesterday of the rugby match, just watching it. That's what we get to do for each other. We cheer each other on. It's people on the sidelines that are cheering us. And it's an encouragement for us that as we get to do it right, and as we get one small thing right, there are these thousands and thousands of angels cheering us on. And our community cheers us on. And then when we get it wrong and we fall down with our face in the dirt, there are people waiting to pick us up and cheer us on again. That's what we get to do.